With super speed and a fight between good and evil, NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff thinks the television series, The Flash, will turbocharge the science topics teachers can explore with their students.
I do not have a lifelong background in comic book heroes, so as new films and TV shows come up based in the DC or Marvel universe, I do some research to catch up. Such is the case with The Flash, a CW series currently in its third season. I haven't watched the whole series, but I did find a few things in some early episodes that teachers could use in the classroom. Like most superheroes, Barry Allen lost a parent at a young age when his mother was killed by a man surrounded by a ball of lightning. Police didn't believe young Barry's account of the attack and instead arrested Barry's father for the murder. Neighbor and police detective Joe West, played by Jesse Martin, takes Barry in and raises him alongside his daughter Iris. The story then jumps to the present, when Barry, played by Grant Gustin, is a young crime scene technician working with Joe in the Central City Police Department. Barry is a science geek who deeply admires the famous leader of Star Labs, Harrison Wells, who's played by Tom Cavanaugh. As might be expected, Barry has feelings for Iris, but isn't able to express them, and Iris sees Barry as her best friend. He's just a normal guy working crime scenes. Then the crucial day arrives. Star Labs is opening a new particle accelerator when a freak storm causes an accident. A pulse of dark energy spreads out from the accelerator, and a lightning bolt knocks Barry unconscious.
Everything's okay, man. You're at Star Labs.
Star Labs. Who are you?
I'm Cisco Ramon. She's Caitlin, Dr. Snow.
I need you to urinate in this.
Not this second.
Wait, what is happening? What is going on?
You were struck by lightning, dude.
Lightning gave me abs.
Your muscles should be atrophied, but instead they're in a chronic and unexplained state of cellular regeneration.
He wakes from a coma 9 months later to learn that he has gained superpowers. Barry's metabolism is extremely fast. He can run up to 700 miles an hour, that's about 300 meters per second, and heals quickly when he's injured. We learn that others in Central City were also changed by the energy pulse, but they are using their powers to steal and to take revenge. It's up to Barry, working with the police and Star Labs, to save the city from those super criminals. Now, it's easy to pick on comic book superheroes and their origin stories. Writers use scientific language and scientific-sounding language to create a mysterious phenomenon that imbues people with unusual powers. Pointing out errors can be fun, but it's not always a good method to use in the classroom. I'll explore a few incidents from early episodes that teachers could use for calculations or examples in physics or chemistry. The first episode features supervillain Clyde Marden, who has the ability to control the weather, at least locally. Marden calls in fog and thunderstorms when robbing banks to hide his getaway from the authorities. Late in this episode, he creates a tornado, I guess to attack Central City and lay waste to the buildings. The Flash is able to dissipate the tornado by running around it opposite its direction of rotation. Barry's team is initially worried that he won't be able to run fast enough, mentioning 700 miles per hour. Traveling in a circle isn't easy, especially going really fast. A force toward the center of the circle is needed to keep an object from going off in a straight line, so I thought it would be interesting to calculate how much force would be needed to keep the Flash circling that tornado at 700 miles an hour, or 300 meters per second. The acceleration of an object moving in a circle is equal to v squared over r, and I estimate the tornado's diameter to be 10 meters. That gives it a radius of 5 meters. The calculation that's available in the online and print version of this podcast shows that that means an acceleration of 3,600 meters per second squared. That's over 360 g's, or more than 360 times larger than the acceleration due to gravity on Earth. A normal human can survive very short accelerations of up to about 100 g's, and sustained accelerations of only up to about 10 g's. Flash needs a robust body to withstand that kind of acceleration. The rest of us probably only approach the kind of speeds when flying in an airplane. You know, some passenger jets can go over 500 miles an hour. But you may have noticed that these planes don't change direction very quickly. When you're moving that fast, rapid changes in direction take huge amounts of energy and can be harmful to passengers inside the plane. When I started watching the first episode, I wondered if the writers would bring up the side effects of having such a rapid metabolism, most particularly the need to eat a lot of food. I was slightly surprised to see it come up in the second episode when Barry starts having fainting spells due to low blood sugar. Running very fast would consume a lot of energy, so it makes sense he needs to consume more food calories. There are other complications that they've not addressed. Digesting that much food quickly enough would likely generate a fair amount of waste heat, so Barry's body temperature would likely be higher than normal, and that has consequences for other physiological systems. Normal adults run into serious neurological problems if their core body temperature gets too high, just 5 or 6 degrees Fahrenheit over normal. I address another interesting issue from chemistry in the online and print versions of this column. The Flash has a fun comic-based TV series that teachers can use for physics and chemistry conversations or calculations in the classroom.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.